When you're down and troubled and you need some love and care, and nothing's going right, close your eyes and think of me, and soon I will be there to brighten up even your darkest night. You just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I come running to see you again. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, all you've got to do is call, and I'll be there. If the sky above you grows dark and full of clouds, and that old north wind begins to blow, keep your head together and call my
everyone. Tommy Hawksblood here. TJ's not going to be able to come on today. I wanted to say a few things before I go into the talk today. We've got a lot of things going on in the world, and I know everybody else does. And I'm not the kind of person that likes to ask for money or anything. But this month, TJ's going through so much. Her husband died last year, but her daughter's in the hospital in really serious condition. She's having a hard time. She's got part of her family living with her. And she pays for the show now. So if anybody out there feels like they can help at any level, it's not that expensive. But if they can, please do. Get in touch with me or her. Times are rough this month for me, really, as well. So many things came up this month. I can't figure it out myself, personally. But there's some good things that happened. I will call good. The volcano that's been going off for almost 3 months here in Hawaii has stopped about 4 days ago. It all happened when the moon was going through its red phase and all these different things that it was going through, that the planets were close to the planet. Mars was closest to the Earth as it ever becomes. So the energies were incredibly strong. So it could be part of the reason why the volcano stopped. But there's many things happening. I don't know all the truth about it, so I don't want to go into too much detail about what Russia's doing with aliens and the United States is doing with them and what's going on up there. Thank you. I appreciate it. What's going on up there? Because I got lots of reports. I got people telling me different things. I don't like to talk about things I haven't personally seen, been part of, or anything like that. But I know for a fact... I was, a little over a year ago, before Trump got elected, and it was a while ago. His time's going so fast with him in there, believe it or not. Mr. Putin does a lot of talking on the radio. He speaks in his language, but I had a friend that speaks Russian. And he was listening to the show, and he was translating what he was saying to me at the time. Putin said, now, this is really important for what's happening on the planet right now. Putin said he wanted Trump to release the truth about aliens and UFOs. He said, and this is in his words, not mine, that they're dealing with 37 alien races. Two of them want to destroy the planet. And I'm not going to go into the details, but there's a couple people directly that I know personally. One of them just was killed. Talked about the wars we had with the two alien races already. So I'm not going to go into that because it's part of what I'm going to talk about today. But I'm just trying to get you to understand what's going to happen. Now, Russia supposedly sent the fleet of their ships to the Antarctica. They, if you pull it up online, it says Russia rushes in fear of United States starts war with alien species. The species that he did name recently is the Anunnaki. Everybody's picking on Anunnaki or using the Anunnaki as a focus point. Everything about UFOs, how we got brought here, how we got cloned, created, all those things. I'm telling you, my viewpoint, my truth, is it's most of it, 99% of it's a lie. The Anunnaki aren't an important race. If somebody helps make you bad, they're definitely not important. We were spiritual in one point in history, we mean Atlantis, before the Anunnaki even came here. There were nine races. I'll go into that story maybe later if I have time, but as of right now, so Putin and Trump met. And they had this conversation last month, a month and a half ago, whatever. And what do you think they talked about? Suddenly, Putin comes back. I'm sorry. Trump comes back here, and the first thing they do, which is had the vice president explain what they're doing, they're creating a new space program, which is going to cost us a lot of money. I'm not going to say we don't need it, but when they say that, even Trump doesn't know what he's talking about, because the secret government, the secret Air Force, secret everything pertaining to that is already developed, and they spend much more money on that than anything else in the United States or the world. Will they tell us? Of course not. And they wouldn't admit that to Russia, China, Germany, Japan. We are advanced, much more advanced than what we see on the news or hear what's written about. Whistleblowers come out. And do I agree with them? No. Do they have a truth? They have some truth. As far as I can tell you, if they're talking real truth about the government, you could be court-martialed. Because when you go against the defense system of the United States, you become a victim, or whatever word you want to use, you become a terrorist to the United States. So if a guy comes out and says, oh, I worked on the ship and we did this, if it was real and the government was concerned, that person would disappear rather fast, and I had multiple friends that did. All right, one of my friends, not good friends, but a friend is in jail. Should say the nut house. They can't put him in jail now. He was in jail for a short period of time. They said he was insane, so they put him in the nut house, and it's since 1996. They won't let him out. They won't let him go to trial. The story they convicted him on, that's why this is going to be weird Wednesdays, they convicted him on was having uranium, which he did, a small, tiny little piece. They said he was going to put it in toothpaste and kill people involved with Congress. If you believe that story, which was put out all over the news in Jersey, New York, it would be pretty dumb to even think that would be possible. He would have to break into their house, what, every day to put a little piece of uranium in their toothpaste? A little piece of uranium like that doesn't do anything. And I know because when I was little, my brother did a science fair project, and they sent them uranium in the mail. And he used this, it's really cool. If you put in a cylinder with dry ice, it looks like a lightning storm going off inside there from the radiation shooting out from the piece itself. And that's just a microscopic little piece. But John Ford did not have much at all. And then the story got elaborate, got changed, got twisted. And if anybody had a large quantity of uranium, where did they get it? I mean, nothing's real when you hear these stories. So, on top of that, he's in there. They're trying to get him out. They're trying to get him to go to court. They won't let him go to court to defend himself. I saw his video. He shot the video while he's in there. He shot a video on Long Island. A ship crashed there. It did. I went out where it crashed. When it crashed, he got out there. He checked for radiation, which is that's why he had a piece of uranium, because he had to check his Geiger counter to try to make sure it's working. And he filmed this giant, squished up, smashed ship on the ground with beings laying around it. Well, he sent that video four places in the world. They only get released when he dies. So they're not going to kill him, and they won't let him out. But he should have just released the videos right then and there. He wouldn't have been in jail in the nut house or jail for this long. Because if it's out there, they can't do nothing about it. But it's not out there. It's an incredible video. I saw it. What can we do? Send your support to him. Right to the Long Island government and everything else. But most people, including me, was told to get away from the idea of being associated with him. I'm not going to go into that story in detail, but basically I met somebody from FEMA who monitors everything, and they said if you go near his family, your family will disappear. So, I mean, it was a straight-out, direct quote to me. So I pulled away. I had somebody around my life. I can do what I want with myself, but when it comes to other people, I have to be responsible to them. So I pulled back. And MUFON doesn't help him. No UFO organization helps him. One person stayed involved with him, puts a show up probably every once a month about what's happening with that. But sadly to say, it's something that the government will not allow out. Now, this thing that happened recently, supposedly it went into darkness for 3 days. They're saying that a chemical came out and it affected the people, so that's why they saw the ship get blown up and shot down into the ocean. The story always gets covered up with stupid ideas which have no relevance to the real problem, or could even fit into the problem. So, after all said and done, that was last month going into this month, and then suddenly Putin and Trump meet. Putin tells Trump something. Trump decides to create a new space organization group. It all fits together. Just piece it together yourself. Go out. All the information I told you is online. Most of it, anyway. John Ford's even online. Listen to the story. Every time you tell a story, it always gets twisted the further down the road it becomes. So just be aware of that. But check out the information. You heard it here. There's multiple sites that put that one video up. There's three different sites that are used in that video, which shows what was shot down, and it shows a lot of different things on there. So you make a decision if it's right, real, or not. Government always tries to cover up things, so they'll create things to cover up other things. Not that I talk against the government. The government's doing what they do to protect the rich, period. No ifs, ands, or buts. That's all they do. And they have to, because the salary gets paid by them. So, it gets paid by us, the workers. Well, who keeps us in place? Who keeps us there to pay the bills and make them and all this stuff for them? So, it's a horrible chain. I was just on a show last night. It was an incredible show. It went really good. But everybody was asking questions, which they were all good questions. I'll try to bring some of them in today. But learning things that you don't know is an important thing. But are you learning the things that are important that will be beneficial to you? All right, that's the problem, because schooling, grade school, high school, and college do not teach you anything important about spirit, death, and God, and all that kind of stuff, which is the only thing that's important. Now, if you want to know lies about what happened to the Native people, what happened in wars, what happened to the Quakers, what happened to all the people that were destroyed, what happened to the witches in the United States, all those things, it's all squashed. It's all covered up. The dates are wrong. How many people died are wrong. All those kind of things. Even the story of Geronimo is so twisted. Geronimo only had 12 soldiers with him. He had one woman ride with him as well. They took out armies. Do you think the government's going to brag about something like that? Of course not. And Custard, I mean, the whole story of Custard, how he went down, what happened, it was all reciprocation against the Native people always. And then somebody was talking to me. I was talking to TJ for a while before the show. We're talking about psychics. I say, you know, she goes, well, you always say things. I say, I only deal with truth. If somebody exaggerates a lie or makes up a story, they're lying. I don't deal with lies, period. They don't fit into my way of life, or the way I think, or the way I feel. If he claims to be God, Jesus, Moses, Superman, prove it. I'm not going to accept a lie because I know it's not true. If I know something's not true, I will defend the truth, no matter what, where, when, or how. My life is dedicated to God, which means the truth, to the end of this body's term. And the term's coming to an end sometime in the near future. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. Oh, well, no, I had 5 death experiences. I understand that as well. I spent 35 years traveling out of my body, all those things. I used to say, well, take my experiences and give them to those people that don't have them. I used to say that a lot. I lost my experiences after I said that too many times. But I also realized people only get what they deserve. They don't get more. And when people think they're going to get a lot more from God, Spirit, because they pray, you think, here, let's go to simple thinking. You're Superman, you're God, you're whatever you want to be. All right, but you're powerful. Somebody's going to tell you, you need to buy them a house. Do you buy them a house? Somebody tells you they want you to build them a giant gold castle. Do you do it for them? It's usually money. People go to God for money. Like God's a banker. Or the magic banker that sends magic money down to this planet. And then when people pray, oh, I got my money. Well, you know how you get money? Create an idea. Work. Do something to make it happen. It's simple. It's not complex. So when people go on and on about this and that, and well, God, and I know people don't like to hear that word because they don't know what it is or how it works or what it really is about. But using your simplest mind or thought thinking, however you want to look at it, when you use the word God, what's it mean to you? This man that stands up there and protects you and takes away your sins and all these ideas. It's no longer a God. It's a man. It's an image of a man. If you have that image of God, you're looking at man's image, not God's image. If you think God couldn't grant everybody on his planet everything they wanted, you're also mistaken. But why would it? I mean, an ant might want to be Superman. A caterpillar might want to be the President of the United States. So they all should just become that because they desire it? And then that other word, which I'll attack whoever I hear say it, spiritual. I use it a lot, but I use it in the content that there is no, are no, spiritual people on this planet. Oh, that says a minister, a rabbi, a pope, a shaman, a medicine person, they're spiritual? Okay, if you say yes, why? Well, belief, idea programming, but are they that powerful? Can anybody on this planet truly prove that you're psychic to 100%. And I talked about that yesterday, but being psychic, and I was trying to get into this already, but very few people on this planet have the ability to be like the percentage of like 95% accurate. Somebody, a couple people I know, they gave Sean David Morton a credibility of like 86%. What's the name from New York City? About maybe 35%. They presented him because out of like 100 prophecies, how many come true? Well, if you hit more on the head, you're a better psychic. But just because you hit something on the head doesn't make you a psychic. You could be just a numerologist and work with numbers. Because if you say, well, an earthquake is going to have to happen, obviously, they happen every day. If you take numbers and multiply them, a big one has to happen. And right now, a super big one has to happen. I would say, if we get... I thought it would hit this, like, yesterday, this week. I mean, I said it to the person. She goes, can I twist your nose if we don't win, if it doesn't come an eight? I said, sure. And she did. I let her. I went into town to meet with her. I said, yeah, go ahead. Have your twisting if it makes you feel good. I said, I'm sorry. If you look at the earthquake chart, we have the worst fires. I said it was going to be a serious disaster. We have the worst fire in history burning in California. Now, that alone is a serious problem for the world. That alone. Without anything else, that is a serious problem. When smoke goes up into the ionosphere and hits our ozone layer, it destroys it and changes it. If you do that, the weather will change, but not in a week or a month. It takes about a year or two to happen. So you take the biggest fires from last year, you add it to the biggest fire ever this year, we got serious trouble. If you haven't noticed, which, oh, there's no such thing as global warming, we're going into an ice age. Yeah, we're going into a lot of different things because we're creating a scenario for planet Earth that it doesn't understand itself. So when these scenarios happen, and I mean, I think three places hit the worst, highest temperatures ever yesterday even. The biggest rainfall hit a town just yesterday. And they're trying to evacuate the people out of the flooded city and stuff. So, you know, there's things happening at high levels around the world of things that are not normal. So you could say, well, it's just nature getting mad. Well, it is nature getting mad, but it's not like nature thinks about it and the goddess looks down and says, you've been bad boy, you've been bad girl, I'm going to give you it. It's not like that. You put too much energy on a part of the planet, it sucks in more energy from something else. Mars coming next to the planet takes the magnetic energy and sucks it in. When it moved away, everything started going crazy. I just told somebody else, play with two magnets if you don't understand magnetism. And put two magnets on a table, put a piece of paper over them, and sprinkle iron filings on them. And they'll form these giant rings around the magnet. Now, slowly stick your fingers under the paper and push the magnets together. You'll see these magnetic fields go together. And all that filings just form this unity. And then pull it apart. Whichever magnet's stronger pulls all the iron filings. So which one ever has the stronger magnetic field affects the other by pulling away what it had. And I mean, just the moon alone has a magnetic field on planet Earth, which gives us the tides. So we got a lot of this energy that happened over the past month with the moon and the planets and Mars. So we're going into a phase where aliens know what happens. Whether they're happy about things or not, that's a different story. Aliens have an agenda. Everything in life and death has an agenda. Whether they're aware of the agenda, whether they admit to what their agenda is, it's there. Now, I'm sorry, I'm going to bring everything together. It's Crazy Wednesday, and I'm going to go crazy. When you take everything and push it together, what is it? It's all one thing. It's all part of, I mean, not one consciousness, but it's all one agglomerate of squished stuff together. And if you ever think we're all going to think the same, if we're all one, we would think the same. You can't be one with something and think the opposite. Then you're not one with it. And then, to say you're one with something, be one with God. What's God think? Tell me one thing that you know God thinks about. your puny little butt? I doubt it. What, you're going to eat for dinner? I doubt it. You're going to go out and buy a limousine? I doubt it. So when man talks, they talk from ego. Ego can be a good thing if you use it in a minute way. But when you let it overrun soul, which it always tries to do, and be the main source of the truth in your reality, you lose your reality. You lose your truth. There is only three truths. Your truth, my truth, and God's truth. If you don't believe in God, then it's only yours and mine. And if you believe nobody has the truth, then there is no truth. And then why be in a world or a dimension or a time frame with no truth? Well, I have to. You don't have to do anything. You can just go out and jump in the ocean. You can do a lot of things if you understand what life and death is. Take it from a person that had five death experiences, and I know what it is to try to commit suicide. So when people talk, and God's this, and God's that, you this, and all those things, they don't know what they're talking about because they were never in that space. And if you aren't in a space, whatever that space is, you can't talk about that space. If you haven't been in the astral plane, you cannot talk about it. I don't care how many books you read, you can't talk about it. Until you are in the space that you're talking about, you have no right talking about it. And I keep saying that to these speakers. Well, he said this, and I'm just really angry with people that come out with a saying and say this. Well, he said it. Does that make it right? And if I say something, are you going to believe it the same way? Oh, I'm not a Buddhist. I'm not a Lama. I'm not the Dalai Lama. I'm not the Pope. I'm not these famous speakers like Eckhart Tolle, Deepak Chopra. Oh, no, you have to be somebody to say something. Really? Do you think the Pope said anything important in the past 10 years? He said a lot of negative things and stupid things, and people accept it. And I keep writing to him every day, and I also say, create your own religion. You're changing all the laws, so create a new religion. Call it the zombie religion, which it should be called. You want zombies to follow you to do what you say, period. You don't want them to know the truth. You don't want them to live in the truth. So what? How beneficial is that to the human race? It isn't. Lies don't help us get anywhere. Now, what I tell you people to do, take your truth. Make sure it's real. How do you do that? Well, compare it to the world. Now, if it's a belief system, it's really hard to, because then it's only like, well, I know Jesus is coming back to get me. Okay, that's a belief. What else do you know? He takes away your sins. How do you know that? How does somebody know when their sins are gone or when their karma is gone? Sins and karma are the same. It's what we created for ourselves to deal with. So, how do you know your karma is gone? Well, I don't have karma. And I'll tell you straight out, I heard Oprah on her show when she was talking to Eckhart Tolle say, I have no karma. Really? She also says, I don't use ego. Really? Oh, I sleep on his book. Oh, okay, that makes you super, 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 super special. So when people use words and say things about other people's writings and other people's stories, it has no truth for you. You may say, well, I agree with him 100%. All right? You're agreeing with somebody else's truth. Souls come here for different reasons. Every soul has a slightly or big difference in the reason why they came here. Everybody's not here for the exact same reason, except to understand God. But as long as they think they're important and their mission's important, it's that what they're going to be searching for. Searching for the true reason why I came here. If you hear it, you won't accept it. So create whatever you want. Oh, I was here to change the world. To do what? Mankind has adopted the idea that we have to help each other, change reality and all these things. It's only partially true. We'll never help 7 billion people become spiritual. We'll never feed 7 billion people because we don't want to. Not that we can't. We could. It would be easy if man and woman could accept each other as a being of light, as a soul, and work from that level together. But at that level, you should know what God is, and you do. But if you don't know what God is, how are two beings or souls going to work together? What in common do they have? Well, we're all one. One what? One energy? We're all a little cell floating around in the universe? I mean, if you took the whole world, shrunk it down to a size of an atom, that's what we would actually be. Just an atom inside this multiple tri-billion universe. So, but when you get back into the core, like when they break the atom and they get the proton, neutron, and electron, and then they make a nuclear bomb from one little speck inside that, there's so much more. And by that theory, and I'm not a scientist, but by that theory is why everything they make keeps getting smaller. You ever notice that? I'm sure you did. Even the food we eat gets smaller and smaller, but anything, music, instruments, I mean, the way they program it, contain it, the unit that feeds it gets smaller and smaller. Even heating systems are smaller and smaller. So how do you make something better and make it smaller? Well, when the tubes were invented, they had all TVs had a big box because they had millions of tubes inside it. And when Japan created the transistor, which is a small little round thing, and it replaced the tubes, they could do it with that and make the circuit board so much smaller. The technology came from somewhere. I'm not going to go into detail about that. But then they shrunk the transistor into a diode. It starts with a man, not a modem, a module. But it's like a whole circuit board in a little dot. Now, to show you how important that is to man's ego, I hope you can deal with the way I talk. I'm sorry, I just am like this. I bring multiple things together because they all fit together. And if you know how to put them together, they all fit together. Well, if you go out at nighttime to look for UFOs or see UFOs, which I do a lot, my new book, it's just about done. I might sell it. I might give it away if somebody buys my other book as a manual, How to See a UFO. But if you go out there any given night, any given early morning, look at the sky, you can see things moving. The government says every little light going across the sky is a satellite. We've got thousands of satellites up there. Thousands, millions. Here's the thing. Go online and type satellite and see how big they are. The biggest satellite is the size of a trailer. That's not very big. They don't mount satellites with multiple lights on it because that would use all their energy. It has solar cells, so they absorb it. Some way to absorb the light, which is beyond our technology, but they absorb the energy to keep them going. It's not like they shine a light and they don't have light completely surrounding the whole ship. No plane does. No rocket does. So they're going to put this super beam of light around a satellite that's maybe, they are at the average size now is like a cabinet size. But the ones they're sending up, and this is a fact, you can check it out, are the size of a matchbox. So imagine how many they could fit in one rocket they're sending up. They could put thousands of them in there and just put them up every day instead of just one. So by that alone, they're changing everything. I just mentioned the magnetic electronical energy in the air is extremely super harmful to the human body. But we're already too late. Everything we use destroys the body. Now, they're going to come out with every excuse for cancer. Your vegetables, your food, your meat, whatever. The clothes you have on, it affects your skin and it gives you cancer. Everything will be an excuse for cancer. Here's the way I look at it. Take your fingers, put them together, and make it like a ball. Now, say to yourself, what's inside that ball. Every single signal, vibration, every word that exists is inside your fingers. Everything. Every single thing. Because when a computer is wireless and you put it on, all that information is coming into your computer from where? Through the air. So that vibration, that energy is there. And you walk through it. It's around you. If you could pick up all those signals, you would be blown away. Your brain would just blow out. Because you got HBOs and all the different channels. You get all this government stuff. You get all this. You get all that. Your brain wouldn't be able to function at all. It would burn out right away. But it's picking that energy up now anyway. Just because you can't understand it or hear it doesn't mean it's not there. I mean, a dog hears 150 more sounds than we do. So are those sounds not there? Of course they're there. A dog whistle goes beyond our hearing range. But a dog hears it. So these frequencies, if you sense a sensitive, you can feel them. And you can't do nothing about it. You could protect your spiritual body. Have that vibrate around you. I can say this, and I'm saying it from my experiences, my direct experiences, dealing with multiple poisons, toxins, and gases, you name it. I played with the word asbestos for a couple years straight. I mean, I put it in my hands, molded into putty, and then I put it on the pipes. I did that for almost 2 or 3 years. I was a fire dancer half of my life. I put real gasoline in my mouth monthly. I swallowed mouthfuls here and there. Most people should have been dead. One of the greatest fire eaters in New York City decided to set a record and he drank 3 cans of lighter fluid and died. But my brother is a chemist and he told me you cannot put that fluid in your body because it doesn't go away. So I'm a walking time bomb, but I have been since I was 25 years old. I ingested more poisons at one time than probably 99% of the people on this planet. So I could eat, what's that poison plant, like it's candy and it won't do a thing to me. So am I protected? I'm protected some ways. Do I get sick? Yes, once in a while. I had ulcers all my childhood before I started doing all this stuff, putting gasoline in my mouth and everything else. So I had ulcers, peptic duodenal ulcers. They were bleeding, and they wanted to cut them out. And then I challenged God, and they were healed. I don't want to get into that now, but maybe later. I'm trying to get a lot of stuff out there first. So when we play the game of life, do you want to play the game of life, or do you want to learn what life is about? Well, if I play the game of life, no, you're going to go around in a circle, and nothing's going to be gained by playing the game. You can play all the games you want. Monopoly, chess, and card games and all that. Did it help you? Now, when the movie Matrix came out, everybody says, well, that's where we are. You want to believe you're stuck in it? You are, if you want to accept that. Now, what I say, which goes against almost all religions and most people's beliefs, we are in hell. Here's the reason why. And just use common sense. What happens to you in hell? You burn up and you stay there burning up. You stay there burning up. What's burning then? If it's not burning up, what's burning? Your soul. Soul can be neither created nor destroyed. At least that's what they tell you. So this invisible, non-solid object is going to burn forever. And it's supposed to be bad, sad, and hurtful. You don't have a body. You don't have the nervous system. So what would you be doing? Dante's Inferno goes into like the different levels of hell. He had a bad dream, and it became his reality. But when you deal with levels and hell and what's going to happen, what could be the worst thing that could happen? I won't ever see my family. Is that the worst thing that could happen to you? Because when you die, you're not going to see them. Most likely, you will not. Unless you choose to reincarnate. If you're attached to your family, you're going to come back here. Soul is the most incredible thing in all the lower realms. Nothing comes close. I mean, the deities are beyond it, but nothing comes close to a soul. So as a soul being, in your soul body, imagine what you could do. You don't have to eat. You don't have to go to the bathroom. You don't have to breathe. You don't have to do any of those things. So imagine that. You're free of the burden of the body. I mean, I think the body is the most disgusting thing on the planet. I mean, birds just poop in the air and they poop on people even. But we have disgusting things. We throw up and all those kind of things. It's gross. So, do you think your body's beautiful? Looks pretty if I keep it in shape. Keep it in shape. In a shape that you're programmed to believe is the right shape you're supposed to be in. When Twiggy came out, I liked her. I thought she was incredible. She was a skinny, skinny girl. And it became the image for modeling. And then suddenly, big busted women came out, and it became different. And style became different. Then songs like Big Butt and stuff like that. Then people had to get a bigger butt. And then they had to change what was pretty to whatever they feel. But all this is just the game, like going around chess or Monopoly or Life. You're not getting anywhere. Change your body any way you want. Stick horns in your head. Have a tail sewn on your body. Get super muscles implanted in your body as well. Are you any different? Your mind might say, hey, look, I look cool now. Does that make you different? Makes you look different to what mankind accepts as normal. I have a lot of piercings. I pierce my body so many times. I always do a ceremony when I pierce my body, but I did it a lot. And I had reasons. I don't want to go into the native ceremonies and things like that, but I always do things for a reason. And that's the best thing. If you're going to do something, at least give it a reason why you're doing it. Just because I like it. Well, if it's a matter of eating cookies, yeah, do it then. But because you have to and you're going to change the world by eating cookies, good luck. We create the scenario of life, what's important to the world, what's important to us. But we take on, if you accept the oneness, you take on what the world consciousness believes, which is a program. Just like the Galactic Confederation and the Ashtar Command. Please, people, if you're in a part of them, challenge me. Go right ahead. Tell me when the next ship's coming down to take you away. They say it every couple of years. Oh, it's coming down. Oh, it happened in a different dimension. Well, I guess they didn't take you up in it then, did they? So, stories and beliefs. Well, I can tell you, I'm not going to go into that because I don't like to get certain people mad. How it was created. Why it was created. Who created Ashtar Command? Where did he come from? Really? Why did people start following him? How did people tune into him? Well, religions are one thing, but so is energy. Now, I studied hypnosis when I was 12, started doing it when I was 14. I worked with a famous hypnotist, mentalist. His name was Kreskin. He was going around the United States doing the colleges and schools and everything. I was impressed by him when I was 12 years old, so I decided to go into hypnosis without any teacher. And I did become that, and I learned multiple things that no hypnotist, the average hypnotist, will never learn or accept, and the Society of Hypnosis will not tell it either, or they won't admit it. I don't know, my computer's going crazy, sorry. Can't do it now. Sorry, computer. So when we accept all these things, I was doing hypnosis, and I saw what Kreskin did, and I said, wow, I want to do that. I didn't want to do stupid things with people, but then again, when I was with my friends, I had all my friends hypnotized. Well, that's I made them do things they didn't want to do. I'm sorry about that. But my other friends said, well, make them do this, and make them do that. But each one knew what I was doing to each other. So it wasn't like they didn't know what I was going to do with them when I told them. I had to do some really bad things. One of them, I just wanted him to believe what he was doing. And he goes, I don't do that. I would never do that. I made sure that they woke up while they were doing what I told them to do. So it was real. But I had no teacher, nobody showing me right, wrong, or indifferent, or telling me how to do it. I just did it. And I gave everybody a word. My one friend, I gave him girls. One, I gave elephants. One, I gave rabbits. I mean, I would give them each a different word. And I told them, if I say that word three times, they'll be hypnotized. And they would just fall down. And I always had to make sure that they didn't fall and hit the head, which a couple did because I didn't watch what they were doing. I mean, I was only learning. Nobody was there helping me, showing me, or telling me not or what to do. So when I hypnotized a friend, I could go into the details. I don't want to sound too twisted, but I had maybe five guys with me and said, who wants to get hypnotized? And one will say, I do. And then I'll say, girls, and they would just pass out. And then I would give them a suggestion, and then they would do it. Now, I started doing it with my family. I had my cousins there, and they brought the one girl had a teacher there. And I said, I'm going to try hypnotizing everybody and who goes under I'll work with. So there was about 20 people there. I hypnotized about 8 of them. So they're the 8 I work with. I worked with 5 of them and then took them out. I left 3 of them in a trance, in a hypnosis state. Now, this is, again, I have no teacher. I wasn't taught the way you're supposed to be programmed to do this, that, and the other thing, what you're supposed to ask, say, and do. So I'm down to the teacher. My cousin's teacher. And I said, what should I do with her? Oh, tell her to sing. She sings really good, but she's afraid to. And I'll tell you, this is how much I remember. Okay, I said, all right, you're going to sing a song. And who's she like? She goes, well, she likes the Beatles. I know she can sing Michelle. So I said, all right, you're going to sing Michelle by the Beatles. She sang the song, really beautiful. French lines, the whole thing. But I said, I want to wake her up now because you said she doesn't want to do that. When I woke her up, the first thing she did, she ran in the bathroom and she was crying. She goes, I don't do that in public. I don't want to do things like that in public. So, you know, I had to prove to myself that it was real every time as well. Because most of the time, Kreskin, when he has 13 to 50 people on a stage and then half of them leave, but half of them stay there. Remember, if you're on a stage and you're going to get hypnotized, you're already willing to do something stupid. See, you can't hypnotize stupid people. And I studied with a hypnotist later on when I was 16, an army hypnotist. But when you study with, when you work with stupid, I'm sorry to use the word stupid, unable to retain a thought, and you give them the idea you're tired, you're relaxed. They can't think of that because they're already thinking about going out and watching a football game, baseball game. Oh, I got to be. And you tell them another thought and they're thinking about something else. Hell, I learned hypnosis from this army hypnotist. I was teaching him stage magic. Because he said when he works with children, it's so hard to keep their attention. So he would do little magic tricks in front of them and he was able to hypnotize them because they were focused on something. And focus is the number one thing you have to do when you get hypnotized or hypnotize somebody. So I hypnotized her, and she started singing. So the other one, I said, okay, you're petting a rabbit. And they're sitting there petting this invisible rabbit. I said, well, I'm bringing you back, but the rabbit's going to stay there for about 3 minutes. And slowly it's going to disappear in your hands. And when it disappears, you're going to remember everything that happened. And it was, I mean, I watched it when I got them all back. They're all sitting at that one person petting a rabbit, and they're looking at us like nothing's happening. And then finally, the rabbit starts disappearing, and his head's shaking. He's looking down, and then he started going, "You gotta be kidding! I don't believe!" And it was like he freaked out. I mean, he accepted it, but it was like he didn't believe that it could have been really happening, that it happened, and all that. So I took it further. I took it a lot further than that. And I'll tell you in a little bit. But I told my brother. He goes, come on. That's not real. I said, how about I give you a situation which is as real as I can make it. So I told my two friends. One was a German and the other one was an American. And they were both in war. And they both knew that they had to kill the other person. And I got that elaborate. And I said, on top of that, I'm going to put vodka in front of each one of you so you can drink it. I only gave him water. So they're both sitting there, drinking this little cup of water. And then I had to keep an eye on him because I knew I created something very bad, for a word. One of them, I saw him reach over, and I looked, and I saw him grab something. He actually grabbed the knife that was on the table. And the other one's looking around, and all of a sudden, the other one came flying around with his hand up in the air with the knife coming straight down on him. I grabbed his hand and told him his word, and I brought him back. And my brother goes to me, "Oh, that's all, you set that all up for me," and then he left. So his mother came down and said, "You got to go to bed now," and all that. So I left. I didn't realize I left them both drinking water. So 3 hours later, 3 o'clock in the morning, my one friend screaming outside, "Hey, Tommy, come on out here." And then his mother came running out screaming, "If you ever get my son drunk again, I'll have you arrested," and blah, blah, blah. He went inside. I took everything to the max, and I played it out. I learned the good and the bad real fast. But I went into, and I created the idea, and I don't care who believes me or not, I'll tell you the truth. I said, I want to do something different that nobody has ever done. I was on a spiritual quest already at 16. I said, what can I do? By the time I was 20, I already did a lot of hypnosis and hypnotizing groups and things like that. I said, I want to go further than that. That's not important to me anymore. I said, how about I bring them in their bodies into a past life or something? And I said, how do I word that? It took me months to come up with the idea of past life regression. I created that term. I know Dolores Cannon said she did, and I don't know what year it was, 70-something, whatever. It was like 7 years after I've been doing it for a couple years already. But I didn't do it super famous. I wish I could have. I wasn't at the level because I had a regular job as well. I didn't have the time to split it. Wasn't making enough money to do it, and people didn't understand it. People didn't want to go to past life regression. What am I going to see? That's not real. But I learned a lot. I did all my family and friends first and things like that. I never charged money. I never charged money for whatever I did. When I started going into healing work, I never charged money. I said, if you want to give me a donation, that's fine, but I don't charge money. You can't charge for the truth, and people do. And I feel bad about that because they're going to face their God sooner or later. And you can't say I charge for the truth. The truth is free. God is free. Ego is not, and power and money is what people want. So it's a sad combination. So when I made these business cards, I remember the printer said, what's a past life? I said, I mean, the lives you used to have. What lives? And you had to explain the word to everybody. So the cards, when they put them out there, nobody knew what they meant. Nobody had a clue. I got involved with a religion, which helped me a real lot. I'll say the name. It was Ekankar. But I step in between the boundaries on that all the time. I don't want to get into it. It's an incredible story, but not right now. But I was able to start leaving my body and doing all those other things. And I learned much about past life, and I learned all mine in detail. The other thing is I learned, which is important, and most hypnotists should hear it, they'll hear it, and they'll deny it. Hypnosis is something that we truly don't understand. Kreskin, who I worked with when I was a child, said it's the power of suggestion. He said Hitler controlled the country by just words, and they heard the words and they accepted them. Like they used to do preliminal suggestions on TV to all of us, do commercials, do shows and things. And nowadays, if you could prove it, you can sue them. But they did it in the days when there was no technology to really catch it. Only split-second thoughts would pop on a screen and go through your subconscious mind. But getting back to hypnosis, I decided I wasn't going to do this for a career. Doing past life regression, I started going into stage hypnosis. I became a magician, stage magician, learned all about magic. While I was learning about real magic and stage magic, two separate entities. One has to do with psychic abilities, one has to do with the illusion you pull over on people. And I learned everything about it quite well. I could tell you much more about any of that than any hypnotist can. Because when you hypnotize a person, and I'm dealing with people thinking they're the greatest hypnotist, they're psychologists as well. If you don't know God, you can't do anything right. You can't say what a person's thinking is right or wrong. You can't do any of that. You go in a nut house, those people have a different viewpoint. Crazy is one thing, and very few people are truly crazy. Programmed and subconsciously reprogrammed are what most people are, meaning their belief system's not programmed to believe what you believe. What makes a law is something that the general rich people accept. It's not what the general poor people accept. So there's a real contradictory there. So when I was doing hypnosis, I said, no, I'm going to go into magic. I started doing stage magic, and then I ended up going into fire dancing. I worked with two different magician partners for many years. I had fun doing it. Did many shows in New York City. I did the Cotton Club. I did G.G. Barnum's. Basically, it was Barnum and Bailey. They split up because he was gay and opened up a gay club. I did all kinds of things. I did bachelor parties, which I would never do again. I had problems with that, serious problems. I learned the hard way, but I do it. I put myself in the middle of it. If I feel I can get away with a story in the next hour, I might tell it. But it was the most dangerous thing that anybody on this planet could go through, that I went through. You can say yes, no, maybe I believe it, I don't. That's your choice. But I went through it. I thought suicide would get me out of it, which it didn't. But it was a serious, serious scenario of life and death and what went on in between all that. Realize, I work with deities. I had a master that would work with me as well, traveling in the worlds with me. He couldn't travel where I went most of the time. I didn't know why at the time. I do now. I mean, you don't learn things just by seeing it. Even if you see something once, you have no clue what it is. A death experience, most souls, and I ask them and I listen to them, and they say that I saw the light, I saw my aunt, I saw my uncle, I saw Jesus, I saw God, and I was told to come back. That's not what happens. Not at all. That's what the mind tells soul to tell its reality of what it is and what happened. And they make books, stories, and everything else out of that, and suddenly they're spiritual. People getting abducted are suddenly spiritual as well now. I tell you, the spiritual word is non-existent on planet Earth. You go past the astral plane into the third realm, you'll understand the word spiritual at that point, not before. The violence, the hate, the pain, the suffering exists in hell. It doesn't exist in the pure world. God doesn't create junk. You heard that phrase? Well, it doesn't. Only man does. So as we create disease, toxic poisons, and everything else for this planet, are we learning any more about God? Well, we have experiences every day. Well, you should have learned them maybe 100 lifetimes ago. You don't go around killing people. You don't go around hurting people. You don't go around abusing people, ever. But guess what? You reincarnate over and over because mankind loves it, always did. After Atlantis went down, the human race accepted the idea of pain, suffering, as long as it wasn't them going through the pain. Why do you think the arenas were filled with people watching people kill each other? Because today, people will pay lots of money to see somebody beat somebody up. Why is that? Why is it legal? Money makes things legal. How's that? Do people object? Marijuana doesn't kill people. Drinking does. Do people object? No. Why not? People have lost their consciousness. Oh, I'm one with everything. You're one with nothing, and that's why you are nothing. Oh, I'm everything. Ego is a great, great master to nothing. It doesn't have, ego thinks it's master, so it's a master of itself, meaning it doesn't know anything. When we travel, when we do anything, whatever we plan, our situation in life, ego's there. Well, I got to make more money than them. I got to do this. I got to do that. Do you like what you do? If not, why not? I mean, It took me my whole life to get where I'm at now, and that's what usually happens. And then when you attain everything you need to know, you leave. You don't stay here and watch everybody else suffer. Or I'm going to help them. Help them what? A soul only moves forward when it decides to do that itself. No soul can be pushed, shoved into becoming more spiritual because somebody else feels they should be. Jesus said, "He who have no faith, follow me." He didn't beg everybody out there, all the Christians that were there and anybody else to follow him. He knew they were all programmed, brain dead. And he knew that about families as well. When he said, "Leave your families," he meant it for a reason. He didn't want to just see how much you're attached to him. He wanted to see if you're willing to learn the truth. Soul is here for itself. No other reason. Soul could be happy with a dog, a cat, a wife, a husband, whatever. But it doesn't need it. And it's not going to go with you. So the whole thing behind that, all right, when we deal with aspects of religion, well, you can take the programmed ideas of religion. How important are they? All right. When we go into reality of living life and we decide how we're going to move forward, well, hopefully you're willing to put the time in to get further down the road. If you're not, you're not going to get any further than where you are, and you might go backwards. It's like a ladder. You either climb up or you climb down. You're not going to get anywhere if you stay in the middle. But you're not going to get anywhere better if you climb down. So it's simple. It's not complicated. But how far are you willing to go with that? Are you ready? Are you ready to take the step and make the move into doing that? Whoever tunes into the show, I'm glad you're here today, now, in the present, in the moment. If you listen to the show to this point, I give you credit for at least facing some of the things that I know you probably have your own ideas of what's right and wrong already, your own belief system. Are you ready to let go of that, change it, allow different things to rearrange it to make it better? Probably most people will say yes and mean no. Do you believe in a God? Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe in Buddha? Do you believe in... What do you believe in? Does it help you? Oh, I feel good. All right, listen. We say a lot of things because that's what we tell ourselves. You could be sick. Usually if you get sick, you usually get better. But no, I prayed and I got better. God healed me or somebody healed me. How come the people that die, what do they say? Well, I prayed and I got nothing. Or I did this and I got nothing. It's the nature of life. It's the nature of your karma. That word people don't like to use because the word karma is cause and effect. What you create, you are responsible for. So, I was going to go into a story. I don't think I'm going to go into it today. It's really an incredible, horrible story. It could be a great movie if you like Halloween and horrible movies, but I'm not going to go there. I want to finish up on this part of it. When we create the things we do in our lives, are we really benefiting anybody? And I mean, in a real way. So, I want to explain things that we got programmed with. TV is the number one most common way. Subliminal suggestions and all those kind of things. Programming ideas. Now, Disney is no longer here. He can't defend himself. So I'm not going to go into great detail about him. But if you saw all his movies when you were little, which you most likely did, you'll notice he always killed the main parent. And if it wasn't the main parent that died, it was always the person, the animal of the story that died. I mean, all the stories seem to, why they do it to children, I don't know. Try to get them used to the person or the animal or something to die around them. How about, why not let them live? I mean, Old Yellow, Black Beauty. I mean, even who was the guy in the castle? Mickey Mouse, all those kind of things. The story when he went to the castle and the blackness and the demons and all those other things. Even Dumbo, his mother died. All these things, something's always killed. Well, that's relating to life. No, that's relating to a life we created. I mean, the first books I wrote books, but not the ones that I first read. Call of the Wild was one of my first books I read. Then I read White Fang after that. Sure, I was into wolves. I had this closeness to them, and those books were incredible to me. Then there was a movie that came out called Lobo. Again, they killed everybody, and the values of the one wolf, wolf they wanted to kill just kept going up, and he became wanted by everybody, and everybody was out to kill him, and they were killing every wolf they could. I mean, the stories always become abused. And when we deal with children, you feed a child an abuse situation, no matter how little it is, it's a subconscious programmed idea in their consciousness. So to make people war people, willing to go to war, willing to kill, you got a subliminal suggest to them that they want to do it. And I wanted to join the army, and I enlisted, but I didn't go in. I was in an abusive family almost all my childhood. I'm now old enough to get away from everything. And I enlisted. I wanted to take electronics and boxing, and I was okay. They said, that's exactly what we'll give you. So, a week later, I meet my girlfriend, who became my wife. But I was really sick at the time, as well, going along with everything else. I had peptic duodenal ulcers. And they told me, turned around and said, well, we really don't want you. But just to show you my numbers, that year, we had the lottery for people going into the Army. My number was 360. I would have never been called. They would have had to take the whole United States inside the Army before I would have got called. They only made it to like 49, somewhere around that number. I don't know what the number was. But I got out, got married. If I would have went in, who knows how my life would have been. If I didn't meet my girlfriend in that moment, what would have happened? But I was just talking to somebody. Those moment decisions of things happening, it's one split second from changing your life from good to bad, or from better to worse, or worse to more worse, or to the worsest. And I can tell you, I've been there. I walked those steps. I mean, I know people have much worse stories here and there about certain things in their life. But when it comes to demons and higher beings and stuff like that, very few people can admit or understand that they could even walk in that space or want to. Or would have chosen to. If they didn't have to, they wouldn't. So I always had my foot in front of the other, moving forward. Never looked back. I mean, now I'm 65. I look back. I see every single step I took. And if you can, you could see the mistakes. And you will realize their mistakes. Or everything's going to... No, not everything. Kill 10 people, you'll never see the higher realms in a long infinity period of time. So it's not whatever. It's... one is right and one is wrong. Well, there's no such thing as wrong. Oh, then word it this way. One is okay and one is better. And it's always better to choose better than okay. If you're making a decision on a job, you got two jobs in front of you. One's a baker and one's an auto mechanic. What do you like doing? Well, the auto mechanic pays $300 a week, I mean back then, and the baker makes $150. So I'm going to take the auto mechanic. You got to go to school and all that stuff to learn something just to make money. And mankind does everything for money. How many people are extremely loving their job? They love their paycheck, All right, but do they love exactly what they're doing? And that's a real important thing in life, that you choose that. Make a decision. For me, it changed. When I was 12, I wanted to be a veterinarian. All I wanted to do was help animals. When I was 14 and I went to a vet and I was finding out about the procedures to become a vet and all those things, they said, when you graduate high school, you can start as a changing the dogs' cages and things like that. And then he says, we got to put, like, how many dogs asleep a week. When I heard that, I couldn't accept it, that that's what I wanted to do. Realize how many animals we kill because of the ignorance of man as well. Breeding a dog and putting those puppies out in the street, don't like their dog, they stick it out on the street. I mean, what man does to what they say to an animal that would truly love them back more than anything else they could ever imagine is incredibly sick. So I said, I can't do that. I mean, I'm sure I could help an animal when I can, but I sure don't want to kill him because somebody else doesn't like him. So I said, no, I don't want to do that. And then I thought it out. I was going to become a baker. I couldn't get into the school that I wanted. And then I took electronics. So then I said, you know, one of the best paid jobs of things that I think I would like would be working for the phone company. It took me 4 years to get into the phone company, but I did. And I stayed there and retired from them. But in that job, I did what I want. I did what I wanted, not what the company wanted. We signed papers saying you can't do this, you can't do that, you can do this, you can do that, but you can't do this. Well, they offered us college fee and pay for it and everything. They would pay for psychology, but they wouldn't pay for oceanography. Computer programming, computer graphics. I wanted to do that, but the only school times were during school hours. And they would see if I took, being a psychologist, they would let me off from the job to go to work, to go to school, but oceanography, they wouldn't. So it was a game that I had to play, and I decided, no, I don't want to go to any other courses. I definitely don't want to become a psychologist. And I never used that, even though it was there for me. Right decision, wrong decision. If I wanted to make money, I could have went, took that course, become a psychologist. And they use it in a phone company to give you a different position and things like that. But no, I said, no, I'd rather be outside. So I worked outside 20 years, day and night. Nighttime was always hard in a phone company, dealing with electric lines, going to the house at night and all that. But I was by myself. I set my truck up the way I wanted, meaning music-wise. I made my self-portable air conditioner in my truck and things like that. And I'm sorry, I'm going to jump. They're selling this stupid refrigerator air conditioner box for $89 and saying it's the coolest thing, the most easy way to get air conditioning wherever you are. It's a stupid little box with a fan in it that blows air through water dripping down a piece of material. It's not an air conditioner. It's a big piece of baloney. In the old days, and it was a confectionery air conditioner, if you want to call it anything, but basically you used to put ice cubes in a tray on top of it, and the fan would blow over the ice cubes. At least it was chilling the ice cubes. So what I made for my truck, I had a little tray. I used to go to an ice cream place and get ice cubes and put them in my tray. I had this fan that was right on top of it, and it had a tube where the water would drip out and everything. I designed my truck with weightlifting stuff in there, and I designed it every way I wanted. So, yeah, I was doing everything I wanted at the same time. And now, here's the thing. I don't know if I can even say it, but I did things that I felt were right. The company split up. They were charging old ladies $160 to fix their jack many years ago. Old ladies, because when they broke up with AT&T, they gave the wiring to them, and we took over the phones, and if we touched the wiring, we had a charge per hour, and it became really money-eyed situation. Really sad for people. That was the worst thing the government did, even though they said, oh, it's the best thing we did is split up AT&T and Bell Atlantic. We were the biggest corporation in the United States, conglomerate together. when they split us up, they said nobody can franchise and own blah, blah, blah. Many years after I left the phone company, they each bought out other companies. I mean, Singular and Sprint and Verizon and all the names they changed and took over. And how you swatch it now. I mean, the cable company here was just bought out by Time Warner. And these company merged, which was supposed to be like why they broke the companies up in the first place. So it's a vicious cycle, and it's only about making money. Everything, every corporation, every company, banking systems do banking because they make money off of you. Anything that has to do with making money off of people is what they do. And people don't object to it. It's so hard for me when I think about life and how it's unjust at every level to the middle class and poor people. So I quote Jesus over and over. And he did say it, because I was there when he said it. He did say it over and over. It's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than a rich person to go into heaven. Whether Oprah hears it, or Trump, or anybody out there, Bill Gates, they won't listen. They don't believe it. Well, I don't believe in the Bible. I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe in the truth. Well, think about it. When you're on your dying bed, and you got $10 billion in the bank, and you're dying, and you can't do a thing about it, what's next? Most people, rich people, have no choice. If they're going to get judged, they have nothing good to put up on there. Well, I donated $1 million here and there and everywhere. Well, if you got billions of dollars and you donated $1 million, that only paid your taxes on the money, right? Right. So that's you really didn't donate anything. You would have had to pay it anyway. So the system was corrupted by millionaires, not by the poor people or the middle class people. Without religion, what do they have? Nothing. So they hold on to religion. But what does religion offer people? A programmed idea that everything's going to be okay. A false, delusional idea mankind accepted and accepts daily. Like they're protected. And I could stand before anybody on this planet right now and debate them, and I know I would win. Because how many people on this planet talk about a real God? Not God sends his love down and I'm giving you love and blah, blah, blah. That's not what God's about. Never was. God was here in Atlantis, and it was incredible, but God was here when Romans, when the Aztecs and Mayans were fighting. It was here all, it was always here. So to think that it's loving being, compassionate, and that's all it is, they don't know anything more about it. Like, how was life really created? I mean, the story of which came first, the chicken or the egg? And who put it there? Somebody had to put it there if that's how it came here. So the true answers get twisted and told fairy tales to make you believe that that's how it happened. And when they use the word Anunnaki, and I know too many people close to me that believe every aspect of that, I feel sorry for them. Why shouldn't I? They're going to believe that this race created us? Are they better than God itself? Of course not. Do they have more power than God? No, they don't. Playing with cells is playing with a solid object. Playing with soul is something different. Now, quantum physics has a lot with jumping through that phase into the astral energy, which was all happened because of the Philadelphia experiment and Tesla. So in that vein, who gave Tesla his knowledge? And why do we follow? Why do we listen? Why do we use it? Because we are programmed to accept it as real. The idea of free energy was always here. Why is that? We're starting to use it, and we're going to put free energy out there now and this year and stuff like that. But is it going to be beneficial, and who is it really beneficial to? Well, you can put your window down, your phone on the window and have your phone charge. What's charging it? Energy. Where's that energy coming from? Well, there was a company called Better World Technologies, and he was selling machines when I was about 20-something. And it took air and pushed it through a metal plate and created energy. By natural movement, not by a fan blowing it through it either. And the government came down on him every which way. He was put in jail twice. They charged him $1 million to get out. He created the dome homes. He created the first jackhammer that didn't make noise within itself. And multiple things. He created a shield, like this plastic, that was completely indestructible. You could take a blowtorch and put it right on it, and it would slightly turn black, but it wouldn't burn up. So technology's been there a long time. So they're going to hand feed us that knowledge little by little to this day. So when Tesla came out with his knowledge, his technical abilities and inventions, people think they came from his brain. He sat down and thought 200 inventions. Oh, he used all his brain. He used all his brain. He had telepathy. He would have radar, sonar. He would be able to use all those different things naturally. Dolphins have the same brain, and they can do that. They can also speak 150 words. Monkeys were never able to talk more than 50 words. Does that kind of like ring a bell of like who's more intelligent? If dolphins had hands and feet, I think the world would be in trouble. They communicate with whales. Whales communicate the energy around the planet. So we're in this boundary zone of this energy, good, bad, or indifferent, call it what you want. Where are we going to go with it? What are we going to do with it? Well, I'm going to try to change the topic a little bit. Because last night when I did the show, I had a lot of calling questions, and I thought about them, and I said, well, they're all good questions. Since I didn't get no questions, I'll put them out there if anybody's listening to this. What is your question? Think about it. Think to yourself, what would I want to know that I don't? How about everything? Why are you here? How did you get here? Where's the human race really from? Which human race are we talking about? Why are there different races? When the Anunnaki... No, don't say when the Anunnaki did this, because they might not have. So they assume because somebody said so, don't believe it. But who created fear, anger, hate? Were we always that? No, we weren't. Were we able to deal with stress and things? Of course we were. But going back to Atlantis, we didn't talk. And you could read people's auras, which is another topic. And you should be able to read somebody else's aura when you have to. You don't have to read everybody's aura all the time, because you're not going to see anything outrageous. But in emergency situations, you might want to see it. So, as we create this world, trying to make it better, what are we really doing? Can we help people? Can we change things, really? And if we can, are we going to do it? Well, that's your choice. So, here's the thing. We need things in life that we don't have. I mean, I can go into the psychic end of it, like a Ouija board or a pendulum and all those kind of things, and who created them, why they were out there, why they used them and all that, but the first thing that I had for a period of time was a role model. And a role model means somebody that you respect and can learn from. And that's what makes a good role model. If you can't learn from your role model, they're not beneficial. If it doesn't help you to be around them, it's still not beneficial. But a role model could guide you where you're lacking. They're not trying to control you, a good role model. They're not trying to brainwash you like government. They're trying to give you a step to take in your own direction. Which to me, the only role model I had was my grandfather. Most incredible person that I know. I wasn't reading his auras and everything when I was a little child, but I always respected him because he always respected me. My father that I was living with since I've been born for 12 years was different. He was evil. Bad to me all the time. So, how do you choose a role model? By what it can do and help you with. And if it can, it should be used. Because most role models want to be a role model, especially to the person they care about. Being a grandson, child, whatever, you want to do the best you can for them. If you're on a spiritual quest, if you're moving forward, and you're looking for awareness, true awareness, and you want to be that. But if that's not the case, where do you go? What do? Who are you going to work with? Do children have any importance in their minds today? Do they know much about it? Well, to go around in a circle, when I talked about Disney, I learned so much because I had two friends. Both worked for Disney. Their house was filled with every statue that Disney made. Problem is, like I said, Disney was always great for killing off good creatures, good animals, good anything. But what went on behind closed doors with Disney is pretty sad. How much of it is really out there, I don't know. But we give the power over to those kind of people to take care of our children. And if they abuse that, we get screwed. And when that was created for this time frame right now, how many people understood it, knew it, or was even close to being aware of what it was about? You can take a time trip and like just go through the vortex into another zone. Where are we? What are we talking about? What do you want to talk about? Where are you going? What are you doing? Why do you want to do that? When we watch movies over and over, is it beneficial? I doubt it. Watching it a couple times, maybe okay. But if there's a program in it, you're going to absorb that program much more. Being in something over and over makes it that much easier for whatever it is to go by you or happen. As for instance, you go on a roller coaster. The first time you go around, you might be going, whoa, this is outrageous. Second time, whoa, this is pretty cool. Third time, wow, that was fun. Fourth time, you might say, well, I'm kind of bored already. And that's how it waters down real fast. But if you went on that ride and it picked up speed every time you went on it, you would be getting a ride of your life. And you might really like it. So, we each choose our path, choose our mission, and the way we're going to go about doing it. But do it from your heart. Do it from the truth that you know. And if you don't be afraid to ask. Don't be afraid to get into that place where you can get an answer for a question.